The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we
men
go!
On the mission!
Men on the mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go! Do it like this, you got to all know! Oscar, Mabel, and Mo! Joe, we're in the house, we're ready! So, men on the mission over here!
Welcome to the New Jet on a Mission podcast on the North-South Connection. I'm Tim Slopka.
And I'm Justin Pratt.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era, to find the best and some of the worst of wrestling of a time period often forgotten. From Bret and Shawn, Survivor Series 92, to Bret and Shawn, Survivor Series 97. We look beyond just the pay-per-views and examine the weekly TV to see what worked, what would have worked, and what failed. How's it going, Justin?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Good. I got some Chipotle. I went swimming with the kids, so it's a good night. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. Just relaxing, just chilling right now. It's my day off, so can't really complain.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say is I'm in Chicago, and you get outside after we get done with the pool, it's cold outside, getting back to the car. So,
I can't. It's cold down here. I can't imagine what it is up there.
Yeah. It was nice to be in a pool, but getting into the car was quite the hassle with the
right.
kids.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so yeah. I think we're ready for our first, you know, last week we did our mission statement, kind of gave our background on the time and the periods, our top 10 list, top five list, top five worst wrestlers. But now you're ready to move on and really attack the new generation era?
Oh, yeah. We're going to show everybody what it's all about. We're going to cover the pay-per-views, the weekly shows, and starting off with the... I mean, you can call it a bang, but I call it more of a spark with the Survivor Series 92 here.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how we, you know, kind of came to start at this point, besides, you know, just the Bret and Shawn beginning and ending of the new gen period. But, you know, it's really one of the big things without one of the big pay-per-views. No Warrior and no Hogan. So it really is a different feel to it.
Right.
Really the first time they've done it ever. So, you know... I kind of gave them in my final grade. I gave them something for trying, but it's definitely not the A-plus show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a changing of the guard feel to it. Like, you definitely get a different, you know, like, I was thinking, is this the first main event work rate kind of style match for the title in company history? Like, you know, you had Flair Savage that wasn't the quote-unquote main event. But
yeah.
Is this really the first... world title main event that was like a work rate match? I can't think of any others.
It's got to be like one of the longest matches too, like at 26 minutes. Like, I don't know, maybe Savage Warrior at SummerSlam 92, and you know, I know Hogan Warrior at Mania 6 is pretty long, but like it goes 26 minutes. Like, there's just not a lot. So it's definitely a different style they were trying to present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it, you know, that's why I think this show became like the starting point. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the first Monday Night Raw, or, you know, even some people say Mania 10, which, you know, I can't really argue too many of those things, because, like, you got Hogan leaving and you got like a benchmark, but it just felt right to have like the Bret and Shawn capping and starting of the era, you know?
Yep, I agree. So, Survivor Series 92. Another thing about this pay-per-view, a little different, right, is the non-Survivor Series matchups, which I'm not a fan of, but I kind of get why they did it from a roster standpoint, but it does kind of feel like a lesser of pay-per-view, too. You're not only not having Hogan and Warrior, but just, like, some of these matches, besides the gimmick ones, you know, like, don't feel like they belong in a Survivor Series, right? You don't have the crazy teams, that's just, I don't know how I feel kind of about it. It kind of feels like a lesser Survivor Series.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. I felt kind of gypped. Like, I don't think I've ever seen this show completely until now. Like,
okay.
It's not something it's not something that gets, like, pimped out there a lot, except for the main event. It's not something that, you know, it's kind of in flux of the eras and everything. So,
right.
I think it was the first time I saw it. And, yeah, I was definitely disappointed with not seeing, you know, more Survivor Series matches, because that's like that'd be like watching the Royal Rumble and getting a, you know, 10-man Royal Rumble or something. You know, it takes away the essence of the show. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so, you know, I guess just a little background on the show, right? Richfield Coliseum in Ohio, where they had done a couple of Survivor Series before. You got Bobby mm-hmm. to bring Heenan and Vince McMahon. I thought throughout the show, pretty good.
I love that combo.
Good combo, and I think Vince and his time can be a little rough and grating, but I think yeah. this one, he was actually yeah. held it together pretty well.
Right. I love Vince, though. I love Vince on commentary. Like, I don't care how bad he is. Like, he's just, he's such a goof sometimes with his, oh, there it goes. Like, he doesn't even know what to say most of the time.
Oh, but
that's the charm to me. That's the charm behind Vince to me. So I don't mind it.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing I think of the Derby 2 is I think about it, you know, you don't get the classic rundown of Vince screaming his voice out and narrating his haiku, which is, you know, again, another thing just I feel like missing from the pay-per-view. Like, I think yep. it kind of gives it a little lesser known thing. You know, I throw on Survivor Series 98 pretty much every Thanksgiving three or four times mm-hmm. just for the first 5 minutes just to listen to, you know, Dusty happy about his polka dots and, you know, all the other nonsense. But
the intros, like, it's something about those intros from like that 87, 88 to 91 period, like the it's such a sensory memory. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I get that.
Yeah, there's kind of this middle ground. I think we'll start seeing them later because I know Todd Pettengill starts narrating them, but like they're missing like a big rundown. You know, nowadays you get the half hour, you know, intro.
Right.
But I think we'll start seeing them of like building up the show to get you kind of pumped up, which I know the WWF always does a great job once they started doing it. But for like this show, it's basically mm-hmm. like just Vince and Bobby like, hey, here's our card and kind of.
Yeah, you know, it's tight. Yeah, we don't know what we're going to give you. Just you're going to find out. And if you don't like it, oh, well.
Yeah, that's no fireworks. Much
how it was, you know.
Yeah, no fireworks, no nothing, no video. Like, just here exactly. we go. So, you ready to get going on the matches then?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yep, no, we're all good.
All right, so we got High Energy versus Head Shrinkers. Why don't you give your thoughts on this opener.
So I actually like this match a decent amount for an opener, and that's how I looked at it. I didn't look at it to be like a tag classic. I didn't look at it to be some kind of, you know, work rate heavy match, even though, you know, you got Owen and Coco in there, and the Head Shrinkers are a pretty fun team. So I thought it was a very solid, fun opener. I wish High Energy would have lasted longer than it did, because I thought they were just kind of a cool, you know, high-paced, fast team that could be featured more, but I don't really remember much out of them outside of this, except for like Coco being squashed on Raw and stuff like that. But yeah, and then the finish was cool. Like, I loved the Head Shrinkers, you know, their finisher off the top rope, that splash, even though it doesn't really, you know, add anything to it. It's kind of like the Midnight Express. Their finish is the same. Oh, and then in Afa, I was watching Afa outside of the ring. What I don't know what he's supposed to do except for like gross you out. Like, you know, like, does he let the chicken like slime all over his face and everything?
Yeah.
It's like, is that his thing as a manager? Like, I don't get it. Like, is that his gimmick, you know?
I think they're just savages.
Right.
But yeah, I guess just okay, is this savage, you better eat chicken raw. Like, I think that's
right.
Kind of it. I mean, it's like I'm not sure what the Head Shrinkers are supposed to be ever. Like, I'm not really I think they're obviously a ripoff of the Islanders, but like
right.
at this time frame where everyone kind of has this defined gimmick, they really don't. They're just okay. They're savages. They're not gonna wear shoes.
They should have been called the Samoan Savages or something. Like, the Head Shrinkers makes you think of like a witch doctor or something. They're
right,
definitely
exactly.
not that.
They're not
a witch doctor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you teamed up with Papa Shango and did some curses and stuff. Okay,
right.
I get it, but they're doing nothing. So, yeah,
right.
A really weird team. And then, of course, you got High Energy in their MC Hammer 90s outfits.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I love it. I love that. Parachute pants. I love
parachute
the suspenders
pants.
And the checkers.
Checkerboard. Yep, checkered and the bright neon. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, this is, you know, the crowd is definitely hot for the match. Like, I think High Energy is that team that, like, you could put in and, like you said, could have lasted longer just as openers. But again, where they went with Owen. But, like, there's definitely other cards we'll see where they could have been inserted in to add some hype. I wonder on the Raws too if we'll see them a bunch like early on, or whether they're just they're nobodies, because they'd be a good they'd be good openers for Raw, right?
To get kind of course
pumped up for a loud Raw. And then Fatu's ass is already looking pretty big. I didn't think it was that big, and then I watched this match. I'm like, damn, that thing is already out of control. So
he's that's his. We know what his gimmick is. We don't have to worry about that. Who knows his ass?
It's definitely his ass. Yeah, and then I have my notes. I have Afa so gross with his chicken eating. Like, I don't understand the point of it or what. Like, are they supposed to be hated because he's eating chicken? Like, I really
right. That's what I don't get. I don't get like what that does. Like, okay, you're gross, but it's not like scaring me or anything like that. You know, like you're just a slut. What was that movie with? I forget what it's blanking on me, but there's like a car impound or something like that.
Okay.
And it's real gross like that. If I could think of it, it's Nowhere to Run or something. I forget what it's called, with John Candy and a bunch of people in it, but there's somebody in there that's like that. He eats food and it's all disgusting like that. And it just made me think of that when I was watching it, but forgetting the movie doesn't really help. So what did you rate this match?
I got it at 2 stars. I think the perfect opener.
I went the same.
And, you know, only thing I'd say is, like, I feel like this match, like, again, kind of, it feels just like a Superstars match versus, like, a big pay-per-view match, you know? Like,
right.
Could have done something more with the Survivor Series concept. It's just kind of like, here's just this random match. They mention, and I have notes in here, all of theirs, like, there's no promo packages. And so it's like, okay, it's just two random teams fighting for no reason.
You could have easily had your tag team Survivor Series match with this. You know, you could have added like two more tag teams on each side. I don't remember really who was the teams that you could have added, but yeah, they could have done a quick Survivor Series match here, I think, too.
Yeah, just to add something to it, because it just is a match that happens, and Head Trickers go over, win the match with their awesome finisher. Like you said, adds no value, but it looks awesome.
right, exactly. Yeah, so that's match number one, and then we move on to match number two with Big Boss Man and Nails here.
Five stars.
What do you think about that one? No. I'm not gonna let you put that blasphemy out there.
I got a couple of notes for starting it off. You know, I thought both their promos were good. Like, they actually presented this match, and I mean, like, I've been watching the Superstars before this, and like, they're presenting this as like a main event. It was on the cover. The original program had this on the cover. So this is like a marquee matchup. Like, they presented this as like the match, right?
Right.
And I also think it's like crazy. Like, they everyone knows his days. It's 2,478 days, which I did the math is 6.7 years. So I don't know why they chose those days. Like, it's so bad. Like, you think it would choose something more like exactly 10 years or something. Like, but everyone says it, like, everyone on the thing, like, Vince must have wrote it down, like, you do not mess up this day count, because everyone is to the day on that. So
yeah, that was weird too, because like, if the 6 point whatever years, that would lead you to believe that he got out early on good behavior. But he's supposed to be this menace. He's supposed to be like this menacing guy. So it's like, okay, if he got out on good behavior, maybe he changed his ways. Now I'm like, totally, the match sucked, but I'm totally out of the character now after I just thought about that. So Nails is done for me.
So, like I said, the match like has this aura to it, right? They set it up. They give two promos right before. Bossman's interview is amazing because he's pouring sweat.
Oh yeah,
like just drenched, and
got the shirt unbuttoned a little bit,
shirt's wide open, just letting it all blow. I don't know if it's a pre-match or something, but he was doing the one thing, you know, on my comments on the match, you know, he runs out before, like, during his interview, like, he's doing his interview and just goes, oh, I'm gonna go get Nails, and so they miss his music, right? So like, a big chance, because his music is one of his best parts.
Oh, of course.
So kind of like gives this deflating thing. And then Bobby's line of, you're not going to see any wrestling here, which it's not going to get this match off to a start. The crowd, though, is nuts for the nightstick. Like, every
they
time
are, yeah,
anything for the nightstick, they're ready. And then they don't do anything. It, Nails chokes him a couple times, and Bossman gets the nightstick. I think hits Nails once, then Nails hits him, and then he does his finishing move, and that's it. It might be one of the worst matches of all time, especially given the hype for it. It's like, we're talking like Taker versus Taker type, like hype to right. actual match. Like this has got to be up there. I don't know. Maybe you think differently, but.
No. So this, so I'm going to act like this is the timeline and the starting of wrestling. This is the worst match of all time that I've seen so far. This match sucked. So like, I couldn't even, nostalgia couldn't save this match for me. I'm like someone who can watch shitty wrestling and nostalgia can save it and be like, oh, well, at least I like the character. At least I like the entrance music, whatever, something will do it. They, like you said, they cut out Boss Man's music. That was like so big to the character, you know,
right.
And they didn't even do that. And then all they do is a couple chokes, hit him with the finisher and it's done. Like, what the hell is that? It should have been a little bit more vicious. It should have been, you know, there should have been a disqualification.
Right.
Like, Nails should have went crazy on him. There should have been something like that. But I don't know. This was a total dud for me. This, I couldn't believe how much this sucked because I actually thought this was going to be something that I figured it was going to be bad, but I figured it would be like a kind of a, you know, some, a little decent, I can look past it bad. I can't, right, I yeah. can't even look past this one.
No, you know, I forgot
it
my
sucked
notes.
That bad.
I have the worst double clothesline in the history of wrestling. So there was a move outside it. Outside of because that was about
yeah
it. Like it's like disappointing too, like of how
right.
crazy the crowd goes on and
right
I can see why they like did it that way for like if they want to keep the feud going, but like mm-hmm. even then they I mean during the beginning of the match like oh the viewer discretion advised like don't watch this thing and it's like this is garbage, like it's so bad for what they built it up to be.
Well, and like when you think about it, when they bring in Nails, you know, to feud with Boss Man, I get it, the prisoner, the prison guard. But where was the Nails character supposed to go after that? Like you limited him so much by just being a prisoner. Like, at least with Crush, like when Crush came back in the late 90s and he was out yeah. of prison, that was sort of his character, but he didn't just have one agenda to come after somebody. You yeah. know? This, they just kind of made it a one thing, and then he was pretty much done after that. And I guess he threatened to rape Vince McMahon or whatever in the yeah. office, but you know, like I would rather have watched that.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see him a couple more times in Superstars because it's crazy. He's actually on the cover of like the magazine, I think, like the next month with him versus Taker. So like, I think we'll see him a couple more times. Sadly, to
oh,
watch
shit.
Him wrestle, I know. So we'll be yeah. stopping watching Superstars if he's on it all the time, but.
Right.
Yeah, I think we're going to a couple more times before he gets, you know, fired. But,
I think you're
yeah.
right, because I do remember him on the cover of a magazine, and I think I know Brett was on the cover of this month, so I had to be the one after. I think you're
yeah.
right. So.
Yeah, I think it was next year's Taker, which is weird then to not have him win this match or
right.
have like a DQ where Nails like gets disqualified for using the nightstick too much or something. You know, anything, not this match.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a waste of time in my opinion.
Yeah, I got the big old dud for that one. So
same here.
We're on to before the next match, I have in my notes there's a Flair Razor promo, which was awesome. I didn't take many notes on it, but it builds up to the main event pretty well. It's the
yes.
classic segment from Primetime Wrestling where perfect turns on Bobby. It's slow played throughout the thing. Just a great moment. All the acting by Heenan is amazing. When he's getting the water poured on him, like
oh man, it was so
like,
good.
Yeah,
the Heenan was perfect in that.
Yeah, yeah. All of them.
He
too,
is such an unsung.
Yeah, and Vince too. Like in the segments, he was kind of egging Bobby on, like And I think they did that as best they could. But my other note is in the Flair promos, man, he is looking old already. Like this is not.
Oh,
he's gonna wrestle till Mania, what 24. And he's looking old. I think he's 43, 40, something pretty old. And he's already
right.
kind of looking old. So I don't know if you have anything
yeah.
else to comment on the.
No, that I agree with you. Yeah, I disagree with you on that segment. I think it was like that. They made it feel like that was the main event of the show, the tag match with that segment and the build up around it. So that was like kind of the, even though, Brett and Sean, that's those are my guys. That's like the impetus behind the whole, you know, movement and everything. This match felt like it was the main event, and having Razor in it too, like this new guy come in and he's already elevated to this spot, was real cool to see. So yeah, I agree. It was a good segment.
Yeah. So then we got Tatanka the model. So I don't know if that's up to you now to start on this side.
Okay. So compared to the match we just saw, this is a 5-star match. But in its own world, it was a solid match. I didn't think it was, you know, the best. This is a match that I thought the Boss Man and Nails kind of would have had as far as like character wise, and that I mean that Tatanka was so over with the crowd. Like, it was, I didn't remember Tatanka being this over with the crowd for some reason. I just feel like he worked his character very well. He didn't seem cartoony. Like, you know, everyone gets everyone likes to throw the gimmicks as like all cartoony during this era. Right. I didn't think, even though he was really Native American, so, you know, that was true, but I didn't feel like they did it too cartoony either. I felt like it was like realistic and legit. And the match itself was kind of slow. You know, there was a lot of headlocks, a lot of, just limb work that just kind of really didn't go anywhere. I think Martel kind of didn't really seem inspired in this match to me, and he's a great worker, so that was a little bit of a letdown. But yeah, decent solid match, but I gave it 2 stars. It wasn't, you know, much to look at there. But what did you think?
So I got the same 2 stars. You know, this is the big rematch, fighting over the cherished eagle feathers for Tataka, whatever the backstory of that was. But so they brought a little bit of, you know, okay, this is a big blood feud, but then it's like, okay, I'm just going to put you in a headlock for a while.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of arm locks. I get why they did some of it, because obviously you didn't mention it, but our friend Doink the Clown was out in the, you know, aisleway making balloons for everyone. So I think they kind of did it like as a stall, so the crowd would be focused kind of on Doink. But
but they barely showed Doink. That was a thing.
Know, like, yeah, that's ending is like the timing of this match. You know, Tataka's well over. Like, there's a lot of people that dislike Tataka, but I just remember him being over and being like huge, you know, as far as like a superstar. And yeah, so when I know a lot of people don't like Tataka, but he did his role here. Like, he got the crowd over for the time he needed to. Yeah, the headlocks were over, but when he won, like, the crowd was nuts for him. When he does, like, Hulk up his Warpath move, whatever you want to call it, crowd got so into it. So Tataka, like, to me, is a big star. You know, the match isn't great, but it's confusing because he just, like, hits his ending move out of nowhere. At the same time, Doink, like, pops the balloons, which you barely get. Yep. And then, like, I don't understand. Like, it's just like, why have 10 minutes of headlocks and not have Doink pop the balloons during the middle of the headlocks, or have like Tataka run into Doink after the match and have a fight? Instead, you have like kind of 2 segments going on at the same time, and neither of them do like anything. Like,
right. And I get it if you want to make the match the backdrop of Doink appearing, but they don't do that either. So they don't focus on Doink. So it's like, okay, what is he even there for?
Right. And it's like I said, like at the end, like they basically miss him popping the balloons. Like, he's already popped like 5 of them when you see him kind of run off. And it's like, well, you didn't even get the joke. Like, why couldn't you have done that 5 minutes earlier? Like, why?
Right.
And then like, if you're going to do that, then have Tataka, you know, come through and knock him out, or, you know, set up a few.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Establish that he's a heel. Establish that he's, you know, the guy that's coming out to annoy everybody. Instead, they just kind of ignore him. And it's like, all right, there's this big clown out there, but what is he here for, you know?
Right, yeah. So, yeah.
But I do agree about Tatanka being over, though. He felt like a star. When did he debut? Do you remember?
So, he's at Mania 8, because he fights the model there. But right, I don't know when before that. Like,
so, it couldn't have been too far before that.
Yeah. I don't think he's in the 92 Rumble. But yeah, he could have been 91. I don't know. He wasn't the 92 Rumble, so it makes me feel like he wasn't there unless he was. You know, they're always they're always weird on undefeated streaks, because like he's in the 93 Rumble, but he's still undefeated even though he loses that. So
exactly. Right.
Undefeated streaks, and I think he's in a couple battle royals that we're gonna see, and he loses those. So like,
yeah. I guess those will get wiped off the record.
Yeah.
I just wanted, I was just trying to get an idea how long he'd been there, because he is like, to me, he's very over for not being there too long. Yeah. And just really, like, one established feud, kind of. So yeah. I just thought it was pretty impressive, you know, his level that he got up to already.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like, to me, remembering him, like, I felt like that comes up until he becomes part of the Snake Million Dollar Corporation. Like, I always thought he was, like, a big star until he got put mm-hmm. on the corporation with the other jokes, you know, comma.
Oh, and yeah. He was not a heel. Yeah. He just was not a heel. He did not fit as a heel. So,
yeah,
that had some stink on it.
Yep. All right. So now we're to the big main event. Why don't you take this one? Oh, yeah.
So we got Perfect and Savage versus Flair and Ramon. One thing, like I said earlier about Ramon being elevated in this spot, I thought that was so huge for him. He really stood out. He didn't feel, you know, out of place or anything being in this spot. You got Flair. You don't need to say anything about him. You got Perfect, who is like this big time turn that he just did with the babyface turn. And you got Randy Savage, who's like the, without Hogan and Warrior being there, he's like the face of the company pretty much, even though Bret's the champion. And Ramon just fits right in. I felt like this match was solid. It wasn't, you know, it didn't blow me away. The part with Perfect leaving and coming back, I thought was kind of janky a little bit. Like, I didn't understand that. Like, he was trying to tease a heel turn maybe, but you still came back anyway. So you just kind of left Savage out to dry. Perfect's tights too, that was kind of disappointing. He was wearing like these black tights with something on him. I forget what was on his tights, but he wasn't wearing like his flashy orange or light blue or green or whatever tights to kind of fit the whole theme and when everyone else was kind of colorful in there. So that was just a little bit of a disappointment. And also, I have noted that Savage bleeds in this match, and I don't know if outside of Mania, if there's any other blade jobs, and I don't even know if that was a blade job with Savage bleeding. It had to be, but were they kind of gearing towards, you know, letting that happen again or what? I don't know, but that kind of stood out to me.
Maybe that was a payback from Flair doing it during the Mania match.
Ah, right? True.
So maybe Savage said, okay, I'll do it for you back this way. I'm not sure.
Right.
I didn't really think about
that's a good point.
Yeah, but yeah, they're definitely very little blood. I mean, we're probably not going to see blood 96, 97, like in a rare.
Well, 95. You got Brett in 95 against Bulldog.
Bulldog, yeah. Like,
that's probably the first one, right?
First one, right, yeah. And even 96, but, like, I don't think there's a lot, right? It really.
No, yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Much. Yeah.
But this match ended, the end of the DQ, I thought it was a shit finish. I didn't really think, like, you know, I would have liked to have seen a better finish out of this match, especially with all the build going into it. But I gave it 2.5 stars. I think it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see the tag team of Ramon and Flair, especially, like, the older guy mentoring the new guy coming in. So I thought it was pretty solid overall. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I had the heels, tons of heat when they came out. Like you kind of mentioned, Razor Ramon, this brand new guy, got put on a pedestal and kind of looks the look, right? And they both came out in purple. It's like they have like a matching kind of outfit, like a team, you know, a team outfit.
Right.
You know, coming out. And I think they got tons of heat. So that's good. You know, Flair's got all his classic moves, the Flair flip, the Flair flop. They're all in there. There's one where Flair does the flip over the corner and then like walks the ropes, and of course he gets punched by Macho. It's like, okay, this was, you know, so predetermined, but it's like,
yeah,
the classic.
He's playing the hits.
Yeah, he's playing the hits. There is a guy in the front row. I don't know if you saw him, but he's in a wearing like a fake Ric Flair hair, and he's got an Xmas robe, a Christmas robe on. Like, he looks so ridiculous. He stood up once.
Yeah, I did see that.
It just seems so, like, now it's, you know, everyone knows the people now, they kind of dress up and things like that, but this guy just seems like so out of place for like the 92 crowd. So right. This guy, I mean, he's probably 30 beers deep when he was out there, so he looks like he was having a good old time. I don't like the kind of tease of the Perfect coming out. I get that he's just become a a face, but like I think you're trying to build him up as being like a big star, and I don't get that like him trying to fake leaving is going to add anything to him. So I feel different. Yeah, I feel different. Like if it was going to be a tweener guy, but like they were truly not making perfect the tweener guy. Like he was going to be a face going forward.
Exactly. So I don't know why they did that. Like that part of it just threw me off a little bit.
Yeah. And then let's see what else I got. I got a couple other. Oh man, Razor trying to get the Razor's Edge up. Man, he struggled. But I can't think. I don't have my note who he tried to pick up. But whoever he did not help him out at all. So he had to pick him up just straight his own power. It was pretty.
They probably didn't want to take it. They probably didn't want to take it at first because not too many people had taken it then. You know, it was a relatively new move at that time.
Yeah. It was crazy, like, watch him struggle to get the guy up. But I'm like, then he's like, he's just deadlifting this guy. So whatever, maybe that movie wasn't supposed to be happening, but it feels like it was maybe was not a called match and Razor wanted to do it. So somewhere something got screwed up.
Right.
And then I got, you know, the ending was just a mess. You know, I don't understand. You got a DQ win. Okay, great, perfect, and Macho win as a team. But, like, they're never gonna do anything like they're even if the you know we kind of know the way the rest goes on, but like I don't think they're ever gonna tag again. I don't think there was any plans for them to tag again. Like I don't understand then the point of the match. And then somehow we'll get into you know Roller Rumble, but Razor Ramon gets a title shot on this. You know,
right? Like, that was so weird.
Like, it doesn't lead anything. And that's my big quote in here. It says, that's a big problem with Survivor Series matches is like the stuff doesn't lead to anything.
Right.
So it's really kind of like the ending's such a mess because it doesn't kind of lead to anything. So I don't even know why they needed to do that versus just having either Razor go over clean or, you know, flare out or do something crazier on the DQ finish. It's a pretty lame DQ finish as well.
Well, I think Savage or Flair should have taken the fall. Like you're establishing that you're making this youth movement, you know, right. Like you're kind of trying to go that route. So have those guys put one of the younger, even though Perfect's not like too young, but he's become a more established star, you know, have one of those guys put them over and kind of lead to a program or something. But instead it's just it seemed like a politic finish, you know, where
definitely
Savage
yeah.
or Flair, you know what I mean? Like they're fighting over who to go over kind of thing. And that's probably what happened. I don't want to speculate, but I could see that happening.
There's probably a 90% chance that's the
right. Answer, right.
You know?
Right.
I think we'll sometimes make some guesses at things, but exactly. I mean, it just feels like, okay, it adds nothing. Now, one thing we didn't talk about was, you know, I think they were kind of stuck in a little bit of a hole because the original match signed was Warrior and Macho, which was an amazing team, an amazing
Mega Maniacs or whatever they're called.
Ultimate Maniacs.
Ultimate Maniacs, you're right.
Yes, yep. Yes, and I don't know if you've seen their outfits, but they are the greatest thing ever.
They're
matching glasses and just all of it.
Yep, that's when Savage had the same. Our Warrior had the singlet, didn't he?
Yeah,
with the shorts. Singlet.
The shorts.
Yeah, I love it.
So they look ridiculous. So I know it's always like hard to figure out what happened this time, but it sounds like Warrior got caught with steroids. There's a couple other guys that are on this thing because of steroids, and the Warlord, British Bulldog.
Warlord. Yep.
Bulldog and Mountie. It looks like too, because there was an original. I meant to text you the picture I found in the magazine. But there was a Mountie Bulldog match scheduled for this.
Oh, wow.
And it just got dropped for no reason, like besides both of them being caught for steroids. So
the Mountie on steroids. He wasted his money.
His refund, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, maybe first dose.
Right.
But yeah, so, I mean, they obviously were in a tough position because they had, you know, kind of advertised big time, hey, this is going to be Flair and Razor versus Macho and Warrior. So, okay, could you have split Macho Flair again or Macho Razor? But you would have had to do it in a couple weeks. So I think they kind of thought, well, the perfect, like, you know, heel turn is just good enough to keep this as a tag match. Let's just keep it that. But it definitely leads to, you know, I think them not knowing what to do for this match, especially for the ending.
It was just flat. It was just,
yeah.
You know, I thought I was going to go somewhere. Then Perfect did the whole fake out thing and just killed it for me. So,
yeah, it's crazy too. On the network, they still have the cover of the pay per view as having Warrior and Macho.
So like, yeah, that's true.
If you just click on it, like you're like, where the hell is Warrior? Because I don't think they mention him at all. Like, it's
no,
just,
I don't think they do. Yeah, I don't think they say like conspicuous, but I don't think they do anything.
Yeah, nothing. It's just hey, let's just move on. He's gone. Move along.
Right.
So, definitely a tough spot, but definitely a weird, ugly booking kind of match.
Yep. So you want to move on to this next match?
Move on to the next. Yeah. This is what did we give? Did you give our stars on the last one? Sorry. I didn't
know. Yeah, I think I went 2.5 on that last one.
All right, I went 3. Mostly for the star power. I just think like the crowd was into it, and everyone looked like a star. The match didn't make everyone feel like a star, but like it felt like a big match. And
I think the ending just pissed me off too much.
Oh, it did. Yeah,
that's the only reason.
The ending notwithstanding, I definitely thought they made it seem like it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I definitely agree on that.
All right, am I turning right?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, great. I get Taker match then. Damn it.
No, yeah, Yokozuna and Virgil next.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. Wrong side of the page. All right. We can't skip this jump. So,
no.
Mr. Yokozuna making his big pay per view debut versus Mr. Virgil. Yoko. My first note is Yoko looks skinny. I mean, just compared to what we'll see him, he's a skinny little man at this point in time. Even as Vince tries to put him over at 500 pounds, I don't know what he would actually was, but he just looks skinny. Virgil, massive pop coming out. So Virgil's still over. Good to see him kind of coming out here, you know, being the kind of filling the Coco Beware, Tito Santana role of, you know, jobber to the stars. This match, what was it, 5 minutes? I mean, 3:43. I mean, perfect. Yoko is moving around well. He's got the great giant slam, the big great leg drop. He just moved around really well. Like he looked in like I said, skinny and great shape. Like I thought, really broad in the match. And Virgil sold for him well. The crowd literally gasped for the bonsai drop. Like they were, I think, not expecting it because this is the first big match for Yoko that he fought anyone. So I think they're like shocked that he actually like hit it on like a star like Virgil. The only comment I would have was, you know, should they have maybe done more? Like Yoko did a bunch, kind of put him over, you know, do 2 or 3 post match, like the old earthquake thing, like the stretcher move, right? Like take guys out.
Right.
So that's the only thing I maybe could have added to, you know, Yoko, but I mean he dominated the match, but Virgil didn't look like a bum. And so I thought, you know, like I put it as 3 stars just because I thought it did everything it needed to do. You had a big star. The crowd was like in awe of, but not silent for. And then you had Virgil still look good that he wasn't like, oh, man, this guy is a bum. Kind of like Tito and you know, Coco Beware used to be, you know, like people weren't like, oh, man, this guy is such a loser. Like Taylor, the Red Rooster or someone like that. Like they have some prestige. Right. So, like I said, 3 stars.
So I'm surprised to hear that, and I actually agree with you on that with a 3-star rating. So I'll just spoil that ahead of time.
Okay.
I just thought this match was perfect. Like, you know, with the tag we said earlier, it felt like a Superstars match, and it was just kind of, you know, nondescript. You got the Boss Man match was a dud. This match being under 4 minutes, but being so solid, did everything it should do. Built Yoko, didn't kill Virgil at all. I don't like Virgil. I'm not like a big Virgil fan. I never really bought into him, but he's definitely over. So like when he comes out and like they're saying, oh, Yoko doesn't get knocked off his feet, but he's going to be tested now. In my head, I'm like, the fuck? He's fighting Virgil. Like how the hell is he going to be tested? But when Virgil comes out, he gets this huge pop and I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe there's more to Virgil than I remember. You know, like I don't really remember his solo run, you know, prior to the late 90s. So maybe that's something I can explore a little bit more. And I just noted that, you know, Virgil's out there shucking and jiving with his punches and stuff, with his, you know, offense. And the bonsai was over like crazy, like you said. When he hit that, the crowd was like, holy shit. Like, I felt like everyone could imagine someone that size just dropping their ass on him. You know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
Damn, he's probably dead. But I wish, and you brought it up, I didn't think it at the time, I wish they would have done like the stretcher job or, you know, something devastating to make Yoko look like, hey, this is, you know, this is somebody not to be fucked with. This is a monster here. You know, this is another new guy that we're trying to put out there, you know, to usher in the new era, you know. And I just felt like it was fun. It was quick. It was what it was should be. It, you know, I feel like almost every pay-per-view should have a match like this to establish somebody's character. So I love
it.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That's a perfect
3 stars
timing
for me, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Timing, right after the big tag, you know, main event tag match. So if you're there right at the arena, like, this is your time to get a beer, right? Go to the bathroom. Like, you got some people out, but you still have time to put over, like, a new star.
Exactly.
So I think great from a timing standpoint. I didn't see this on the network, but have you ever seen the Virgil and Lord Alfred Hayes post-match interview?
No, I didn't see it.
I don't think it's on network because I looked for it twice. Oh, uh-huh. You're gonna have. I'll have to find the YouTube of it, but it's amazing, yeah. Where Virgil calls him Yakuza, so he messes up his name, and Lord right. Hayes is such a. I know he tells him it's a shellacking, and he like lays him down in a bed, like it is. Comedy.
Oh, man. Like, I'm going to have to look that up.
Because I was pissed. I put on my notes. I'm like, I know there's a great post-match promo, but I think right. they cut it from the network. So
that's weird. I wonder why they would do that.
It's not. I don't know why. Maybe it was a Coliseum video exclusive or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I definitely have seen it before, and I definitely have laughed every time. When he calls him the wrong name.
Yakuza. Yep, it's like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yep. Before the next match, there was a little interview. We got my boy Sean Mooney with Perfect and Savage. And
God, this was crazy.
And Perfect literally is grabbing a raw turkey.
Right? What the hell was this?
And putting
his
hands in. And I get the joke, I guess, but it's so sick. And he's not wearing gloves and he's like sweating.
Yeah.
It's
such a little ass turkey too.
It's disgusting. And I have actually in my notes too, is like, it's so weird to do this like super over face promo, you know, him and Macho like hugging and saying we're gonna be a tag team forever, but why do you have the thing in the middle of the match where Perfect almost left him? It just doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did they even do this? I don't understand this whole like cut to them. Like, you could have had them, it was a DQ finish for one thing. It wasn't like they, you know, went over clean or anything like that. They're celebrating, and I don't know, I just feel like they're both on cocaine or something. It was something else.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a massive amount of cocaine out there. No doubt about that. And the promo, I think, is good, right? Besides the disgusting, you know, chicken.
Turkey.
Or turkey, yeah. You know. Besides that, but like, it just doesn't make sense with the match. I mean, you would have thought they won the world, like you said, like the tag belts or, you know,
right,
whatever. Like, they're celebrating, like they've just, you know, defeated everyone. I don't know. Definitely weird.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we got our next match after that, which is the only Survivor Series match, sadly, on the whole card, which is the Beverly Brothers and Money Inc. versus the Natural Disasters. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, Natural Disasters and the Nasty Boys.
Yep.
You want to go ahead and give some thoughts on this one?
No, you're up this time.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Your time.
So, watching this match, I actually thought the Natural Disasters worked their ass off in this match, which was sad because they're obviously the fattest dudes in the match. Maybe they're like, they're kind of like happy that it was around Thanksgiving or whatever, so they had like a little twinkle in their eye or something.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, let me
burn off the calories
right.
before the big meal.
Right, yeah, they probably just mowed down a whole restaurant worth of food, so you know they're getting their work in. Oh, I also have a note here about DiBiase's sick ass attire, that white and gold outfit. I don't even care what he did in the match, but that outfit was so sick. I love that outfit. I got here in the notes that we got some fun fat guy offense by the Disasters. You don't really see much of the Nasty Boys in this match, which I'm not really mad at in this era because I kind of thought they sucked in this time. The ring gets filled up a little bit. The Beverlys kind of get eliminated. It kind of takes a while before someone gets eliminated, which is surprising to me. Usually, like in a Survivor Series match, you get like one of those quick eliminations. And I don't know if they said before the match if both members of the team are eliminated when someone gets pinned, but that kind of took me off guard too. I kind of thought it was going to be like the traditional, you know, guy gets pinned and he's gone thing. So that kind of just threw me off a little bit. After that, the disasters got eliminated. Then we got kind of a cheap finish right away with the Nasty Boys winning. I thought the match dragged on too long for, you know, with a Survivor Series match, they could have done like a quick elimination, then a build to another one, then, you know, another quick one. This one was kind of just nothing for a while, and then all of a sudden all these quick eliminations at the end. I didn't really like the way they laid that out, and I thought that was just kind of a cheap ending to it, so I just gave it 2 stars. What about you?
Star and a half. 1550 of nasty or natural disasters.
Felt longer.
Like, definitely feels long. I took more notes about some things not in the match, because that's how this match went. For one, the first kind of appearance of the Titantron right at the beginning, which I think adds a lot, right? Like, builds up, you know, one, you can get the replays for the crowd, and you got the cool graphics for everyone coming out. So I think it adds, you know, kind of to this era. Mm-hmm. Vince, in this match, for a match that's not great, the maneuver count on this match is out of control. Like, everything. I think it's because, you know, the natural disaster is, like, Typhoon, like, his move is just, like, a belly bump.
And, right.
Like, he just keeps calling it, like, oh, what a maneuver. Oh, look at that maneuver.
Right.
Because it's not really, like, an action. Not that he knows moves, but it's like they're not even moves.
Yeah. He don't know what to say.
He don't know what to say, so he's just throwing a maneuver there. So this match, along with a couple other ones, like, needed a video package. So I'm not sure if you knew, like, what the backstory was here of this match, if you could figure it out from their commentary. Okay, so watching some superstars beforehand. So here's what I've gathered. Somehow the Nasty Boys were supposed to fight the Natural Disasters for the tag titles. And then as they were coming out to the ring, Jimmy Hart announced actually it was going to be Money Inc. instead. So the Nasty Boys kind of got shoved aside by their own manager, Jimmy Hart. Money Inc. then tried to buy off the Nasty Boys, who then fight Money Inc. So Nasty Boys are now face for some reason.
Right.
And Money Inc. then fight the Natural Disasters. The Head Shrinkers come out in the middle of the match to beat down the Natural Disasters and give Money Inc. the title. So why that all happens, and then you have this match where you have the Beverly Brothers, who weren't involved in that thing at all. And again, I know they made a couple references to in the commentary, but like, if you couldn't place it together, I don't know how anyone could. So it's like a match where they're trying to build storyline, but there's no video package. And even the Nasty Boys, like you mentioned, they weren't even in the ring a lot, which I didn't even notice it. But like, if they're like desperate to get Money Inc., like, shouldn't this match be like them beating them down? Like, it's just
exactly.
It makes no sense for what they did to build up the match, which is kind of a, like, the angle I thought was kind of cool on Superstars, like watching it weekly build up, like Jimmy Hart saying, like, oh, Money Inc., don't worry, I'll get you, I'll come back. Where they kind of
build it up.
But then, like, to lead to this kind of garbage match is just like, you know, just like a disappointment. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you spend all this time building that up and not like have something big come out of this? And again, like, I feel like this match, along with a couple others, like, really need that video package to, like, okay, here's why they're fighting. Like, everyone know that, like, the Nasty Boys really want to get a handle of Money Inc., right? Like, and I guess it literally didn't go there. And then I wrote too, the Nasty Boys are kind of funny as a face. Like, they actually, because Knobs, besides being the drunkest person I've ever seen in Mania 30, he does, like, he's not a good wrestler, but man, he does do a good job of getting the crowd involved. Like, he knows when the crowd's not getting involved. Like, he's always moving. He's kind of clapping. He's always slapping the mat or the turnbuckle. Like, he's into every match. So I get why they could be good faces, but it is kind of funny. Like, these, like, disgusting slobs are supposed to be, like, over. But I think they did get a pretty big pop.
And so the Beverly Brothers had nothing to do with this? They were just kind of thrown in there?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing to do with this.
They could have easily put them against High Energy in the opener and the Head Shrinkers in the match.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Or have Head Shrinkers come out here to cause disasters, like, you know, anything, like, to build that feud up. Like, it's just, like, so weird that, like, you spend your TV time building stuff and then just kind of have a flat match. So I went
Weird.
1.5 stars on this. And honestly, before this watch, and kind of now that it's Superstars on the network, I'd never known the storyline. Like, I just always thought it was like, okay, two, you know, four random tag teams thrown together. but like there was a backstory that like
that's crazy. Like, that's even worse.
Like, yeah, like you couldn't tell. So
jeez, I'm glad I didn't watch the backstory. I would have graded it lower. That's crazy. Yeah,
that's good stuff. But yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand it. So I don't know. Star and a half. It was a match.
Exactly.
All right. On to the next.
Yay.
Taker Kamala. So here you go. You got a video package. So finally, you kind of built, like, this is what I like. Like, build up the match. It's a coffin match, not a casket match. So we got a big debut of a gimmick here that's used time and time again, which Taker seems to always lose. Like, he has to be, like, 1-15 in these right. casket coffin matches. So this might be his only victory. We'll have to track that to see if he wins any other ones. But
yeah, he's not that's a good point.
He's not good at them. So they build up the video package. Obviously, Kamala, afraid of coffins, so, you know, he's got no chance in this match. Harvey Whippleman versus Fink, like, they have such a weird feud because, like, you could tell when Harvey Whippleman takes the mic from the Fink. And I just have here a note, like, they booked this so long, this feud goes on forever, and don't worry, in Raw 100, we'll see a Tuxedo Max as the blow-off to this feud. So... Yeah. It's so stupid. Like, why would you?
I know.
I don't know if they hate each other in real life or it was just a rib, but like, they do this the whole time and like, then it just leads to nothing. So, I don't know. Maybe they're best friends and just like, they thought it was funny to do, but.
Right.
So, do we have to talk about the actual match? Because it's not good. Taker gets some huge pops. He looks cool. It's a cool spectacle of him coming out with the casket with Kamala's, star astrology signs on it. Bobby, I got another Bobby great line. He says that coffin is a freight car. Like, just putting it over is like, this is gonna be, a big deal. The match was only 5:27, but still way too long. I thought this match wasn't that bad. I always thought everyone just put some, too much hate to it, and then you watch it, it's so bad. Like, there's an urn stealing spot that Kamala gets the urn and drops it because he's afraid of it, and then so it's turns into a comedy spot mid match, and you're supposed to be putting Kamala over as this like deadly heel, and he's literally scared of the urn. Taker gets, I get why Taker's not gonna tombstone him maybe, but then gets a cheap urn shot, pins him, puts him in the coffin. The crowd was definitely up for like what was gonna happen in the coffin. It was definitely like in awe that they actually put him in there and then like wheeled him away. So like the first time you see this match, it was probably like, whoa, that was pretty cool. But like stopping to watch the 5:27 of action is just one of the worst matches. Good thing Dallas and Bossman was worse on this card, but here's a half a star. Just because I think it was, the crowd was more like into like what is going to happen. And I'm sure the first time you watch this, like you had to just be like, something crazy is going to happen here. But the actual in-ring is some of the worst.
And this actually was my first time watching this match, surprisingly. Now, the dichotomy of this match was so confusing to me in that, like you said, Kamala was going comedy for most of the stuff. Like, I get the being scared of the casket. Yoko does it later, too, but he doesn't go, like, over-the-top comedy with it. So it's kind of weird seeing, like, Taker play this stalking, brooding character, and Kamala, who's just as big, playing this comedy role. I don't get the whole being scared of a casket thing. Like, it's wood. I don't get that. And then the urn touching you, like, what's that supposed to do? I don't like, he flips out over that, gets cranked with it one time. The match just sucked. I thought it was good character work from Taker. I thought it, like, the match goes with his character, the whole motif of the whole thing, his look, like, I loved it. His entrance, like you said, with the casket coming out. I thought that part of the match was awesome. I just thought Kamala sucked. Like, Kamala doing his over-the-top comedy. He was running at one point. Like, it's like, how is a guy that big? Like, when he lifts his hand up, like, he's going to fake chop him a bunch of times. It's like, okay, is this 6'10" zombie really supposed to, like flinch? Like, what are you expecting, And then the finish where he's like, I didn't know. I got it. I thought the casket was going to be like an open and closed casket. I was not expecting him to sit there and nail the coffin closed or whatever. So I was like, holy shit, he's actually nailing this dude. And so it was kind of cool to see that part of it. Like, the whole,
And the crowd is, like, in awe of it. Like, I think,
right.
I think that's why it's kind of, like, you know, as bad as the in-ring is, I think it does kind of leave that, like, the crowd is like, oh, my God, he's literally nailing him in the coffin.
Right. There's yeah, it, like, it was, like, a legit like, hammer and everything. Like, I'm like, holy shit, like, they're actually doing this. That's why I gave it a star. You know, it wasn't a great match at all. It's just kind of the whole theatrics behind it is what I liked. And, you know, I like that in my wrestling, so I gave it a star. Not something I'd watch back or anything like that, but it did, you know, develop Taker as a good character. So I like, you know, that part of it, but the in-ring, it sucked. I'm not going to lie. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't New Generation esque to me that I was looking forward to, you know?
Yeah. And then we got our, before our main event. So I know we talked a little bit about Survivor Series, you know, concepts. You know, not have the matches, but like, listen to all these guys. I went through the roster and trying to find, you know, other matches they could have had, because at this point in the card, it's only 2 hours in. So we're literally 2 hours in exactly to the point where Bret and Shawn starts. So it's like a short pay-per-view. So I'm shocked they couldn't, like, you know, either take out the high, like, I think we talked about the high energy match, take out the Tatanka match and put, and even add another match to stretch this card out. But like, these are all the guys that were around the time and not on this pay-per-view. So I would have definitely found a way. So there was Marty Jannetty was already back. You got Max Boone, Terry Taylor. Okay, he kind of stinks. Tito Santana, Crush, Bob Backlund was back, Jim Duggan, the Bushwhackers, the Steiners. I don't know when they actually came in, but they were close enough that he could have.
Yeah.
And Hillbilly Jim. On the heel side, you have the amazing team of Papa Shango, Skinner, Berserker, Damian Demento, Repo Man, and then you have Bam Bam Bigelow, and then Doink, who wasn't really announced yet, and then Jerry Lawler was around this time too. So, like,
holy shit,
you have quite a, like, a list that you could have had another tag match, throw another Survivor Series match, even if it was quick, just to add something to this and get guys on paper, like, put over some characters.
Exactly. And Marty Jannetty should have been on the show, man. Like, I love watching Marty Jannetty, so that kind of pisses me off that he wasn't on there. I didn't even know he was involved at the time.
Damn. Yeah, he came back, like, right before this. So, you know, like, right before, which would have made sense, like, come out during the main event, or, like I said, even have him win a Survivor Series match. You know, like, have just a Survivor Series match.
Right.
With him, like, let him pin Skinner and Papa Shango. Like, who cares? And let him go over big and set him up for him versus Shawn. But, like, it's just weird they leave so many guys off this card. And, the, like I said, at 2 hours in, like, the main event's already coming on. Like, you never – I don't know if there's a shorter pay-per-view we'll ever watch. And, you know, besides the Inner Houses, like, this has got to be one of the quickest
pay-per-views. Oh, yeah, it's got to be. It's got to – I mean, I can't – I've seen most of, if not all, everything after this, and I can't think of anything that would be, like you said, outside of In Your House that would be shorter. Which kind of shocked me, you know, and it doesn't, I know it's shorter in length, but it doesn't feel shorter because some of the matches drug so long, like even the shorter matches, but I just felt like they kind of mismanaged it up to this point. Like, they just had the main event in the main event level tag match in mind, and they kind of just threw everything else together and just said, here, almost like a Saturday night's main event. Like, this, this pay-per-view felt like a Saturday night main event almost, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they definitely thought about the Big Boss Man Nails being a big match, but, like, it just did, like I said, it was on the cover before they decided it was a bad idea. But, like, if you get the program, like, they're on the cover, but, like, it's just dead. But the Tatanka Martel, we get why the Yoko Virgil match kind of happens, but it's not good. It's not needed. The head shrinker match isn't needed, and the four-way tag match, or whatever you want to call it, the four tag teams, like, that's just time filler. Why did it have to go 60 minutes? I don't know, but all right, so we're on to the main events.
Yes, sir. So this is the starting of the new generation era to me. This is the match that, you know, it should say the rivalry of the era. Not necessarily like in ring. They don't go at it the whole time. Like, it's kind of this, and then kind of towards the end is when they, you know, wrestle each other. Really, they kind of stay away from each other in the middle part. But you know, these two guys, both budding stars. Bret is. Oh, before the match, when Bret's interviewing with Mean Gene, did you watch that? Did you see that part of it?
I did, yeah.
Did you notice, like, how much he was laughing beforehand? Like, Mean Gene must have said something to him. Like, they must have cracked some kind of joke, but Bret could not keep a straight face before his promo. I thought it was hilarious. So I know, Mean Gene had to say something slick to him or something, you know. But the match itself, shockingly, at first I was kind of surprised at how slow it was, being that it was Brett and Shawn, and I had my like thoughts set on, okay, this is the new generation, this is the changing of the guard. Like, at first it started slow. I'm like, damn, is this match not as good as I remembered it? But then it just picked up to a great pace. Like, there was some fun spots in the match. You know, you got your Brett running into the turnbuckle. He's one of the first guys I've ever seen to do that. That was something new. There's a spot where Shawn gets thrown into the ropes, and he kind of ties himself in the ropes like Andre. And Brett yep. goes to run at him, and Shawn gets out of the way, and Brett gets like caught in the ropes like in a crossbody. I'm like,
that looks so nasty.
Right? Like, you didn't see stuff like that in any other matches. Like, you were seeing punch, kick, you know, suplex, whatever. You weren't seeing like high paced, you know, reversals and ducking out of the way. So I thought, like, once the match started to get going, it got really good. And like I mentioned earlier, it feels like it's the first work rate match to me in the main event where both guys aren't, like, everything doesn't have to be, you know, the Hogan Warrior stuff was, like, so choreographed. It's a great match, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's obviously choreographed to hell. These guys just look like they felt out the crowd. You know, Shawn hits his finisher at the time was that back suplex, wasn't it? That slingshot suplex?
Yeah.
He hits that.
It's not switching me. I know that.
Right. He hit it, and one member of the crowd, who must have been like a heel fan at the time, was going crazy. You know, he thinks it's a finisher, and Brett kicks out. And I'm like, oh shit, they're kicking out of finishers this early. Like, it was crazy to me. Shawn coming off the top kind of shows, like, hey, this is the, you know, high flying era. And Brett catches him in the sharpshooter. I love the way he cinches it in for the finish. I thought it was a very good match. I'm going to go 3.5 on it. I want to go 4 stars, but I don't want to be like, I can't. I think there's a lot more matches that are going to go 4 stars that I really can't put this in the level of. So I'm going to go 3.5, 3.75, somewhere in that. I don't really do quarter stars, so I'm going to say 3.5. Definitely the match of the night. Definitely a good way to kick off the era. And I just felt like it was a solid main event. What about you?
Yeah, so I went 3.5 too.
Perfect.
I got the some notes from the interview. So they did two interviews beforehand. One, Shawn. I thought Shawn's interview was way better than Brett's, maybe because Brett yep. was laughing during it. But he did. It was funny because he buried Bulldog. He kind of said like, "Oh, I beat Bulldog, who beat Brett." Right. So okay, put a little doubt in the mind, but kind of weird that like Bulldog's not on the show and like gone from TV, and I don't know if we'll ever see him again, you know, for a while, but
right.
kind of buries him on the way out. They didn't even mention, you know, nothing about Warrior, but here they go with Bulldog. Then Brett's interview, I put not as good. He did say during this, you know, Shawn Michaels, I have nothing but respect for you. Well, that might not last this whole time.
right. Do you notice that about Brett too, where he has to say like everyone's first and last name?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, he's got some weird interview habits. Yeah. You know, everyone always jokes about the SummerSlam and just some
right,
things he says.
Right.
And then Gene building up Bret Hart says, in a 2.5 week, he beat all these guys. Now, this is who he's going through: the Mountie, Berserker, the Model, Big Papa Shango, not just Papa yeah. Shango, Big Papa Shango, yeah. and Virgil. I mean, like, yeah. bro, half those guys even are on the show. And he's right. bragging about, here's who Bret's beating, these guys that can't even make
it. Who's who?
I can't even make this pay per view. That has the high energy in it. You know, I mean, like, not right. the best show in there. So, yeah, the crowd, like, the first 10, 15 minutes was not into it. I thought the match was a little slow. Like, they weren't really doing much, and it wasn't, like, they weren't really, like, it wasn't something where, like, oh, they were building up, like, a body parts or, you know, that. They were just kind of doing, like, a couple headlocks, a move here and there, alternating control. So it wasn't bad because it was mm-hmm. smooth, but it was, like, not anything. But then about 15 minutes, like, it really started cooking. And, you know, Brett gets his moves of doom, and he's putting over Shawn pretty strong with, like, the kickouts. Like, he's really letting Shawn kick out at the end of, like, every, you know, backbreaker is right. elbow off the second rope. Like, you'd cover Shawn right away and let Shawn kick out of it. So it really did. There was a commentary line, again, by Bobby. It was just, like, in my notes, Bobby's still paying attention at this time. But, like, the way Shawn wins the Intercontinental title is on a suplex from the top rope, and Brett goes for it, and Bobby's like, oh, that failed on Bulldog, it backfired on Bulldog. So he's kind of, Bobby's still like all over the storylines, which I know in WCW, he's, you know, not known.
He's having a can.
I thought it was good. Yeah. Good. Whether Vince fed him that line, but it was pretty good by Bobby. Then they have like an unnecessary ref bump for some reason in the middle of the match.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
I was like, I don't understand that. And again, unnecessary because Sherry, was Sherry even out there?
No, not at first. No.
I didn't see her.
No,
right?
I think she was out there at all.
Yeah, right. Like, so you got this rep bump where you're like, okay, maybe Sherry comes in, or maybe that's where you could have used Marty to come out, like, and do something.
Perfect.
Right. So it's like, why even have a ref bump? Like, it didn't do anything. So it's kind of, you know, like, it's kind of weird to have that in the match. The ending's awesome, but I don't know what move Shawn Michaels was going to do, the jump off the top rope with his legs open. But
he was obviously going to do a Hurricanrana. He's going to do a Rey Mysterio Hurricanrana from the top rope.
For the first time ever, right? Yeah, right. Like, it's an awesome like visual, but I've always laughed at, like, because I think he does that at 12. I think he does that at Mania 12, too. I think he does the exact same thing. And it's like, what's he going to do? Like, what is he going to do? But, and so, yeah. So the ending's awesome because he catches them and everyone, the crowd, like, erupts. And they had been great for the last 10 minutes of this match. But they really erupt once they know, like, oh, crap, Sean's trapped in the sharpshooter. And gets them to submit. And then at the end, we get a little Santa Claus coming out. Get Santa and get a little snow in the crowd. So it's a good but not great match. The match, like, to me, Brett kind of feels like a world champion. To me, like, Shawn didn't feel that way. Like, I don't know if it was not having Sherry out there, or like, he actually didn't even come. He didn't even get an entrance. He was just in the ring at the time, like, when the match started. So, like,
yeah, like, you didn't showcase his belt. Like, they didn't make nothing. Like, they didn't make a big deal about him being Intercontinental Champion at the time. Right. Like, it just felt kind of rushed together, you know. Like, they could have made it a big, like, Hogan and Warrior, the big deal about both belts, you know. Like,
they
didn't do that here, so.
Yeah, so it just feels like Shawn is a that. Star, but yeah, so it feels good from a good match, but not just like a great match, because I just feel like they didn't build it up like it was going to be this awesome classic, which they
right.
do, you know, like, later on. Definitely Mania 12, like, they make that feel like, whether you like the match or not, they make that feel like, okay, these are two big stars going at it.
Exactly.
And they do a good job of, like, setting the home fans home happy, even if the whole show wasn't great with the Santa, you know, trope and the snow. So, and Bret Hart's a good champion for doing it. So,
right, yeah, that part kind of threw me off a little bit. I definitely, like, I was getting ready to turn it off, then I see Santa coming out. I'm like, is this about to be a heel in the Santa outfit? Like, what? And then I'm like, what are they doing? There's snow coming down. Are you serious? Like, this, it's literally supposed to be Thanksgiving. But let's
get it ready.
Let's focus on Christmas, you know? Well, yeah, it was a little weird to me, but it. And then another thing, like, when that happened, it made me think, was Brett the last, like, true babyface world champion that the fans accepted as a babyface? Like, maybe ever. You know, like, it from when Shawn gets it in 96, the fans turned on him. When Diesel gets it, the fans kind of turned on him, and the buy rates were shitty. Austin was a tweener. Rock was kind of in between. You know, like, Triple H as a babyface, everybody kind of shit on, and he had to turn back heel. Like, who was the last, you know, babyface champion that the fans, like, truly got into as a babyface? I can't really think of somebody, you know, that somebody else that they built up like that, you know? So that was kind of cool to see.
That's a good one of, like, true over babyface. I mean, I think Cena, maybe the first time Cena wins, like, he was over, and, you know, kind of think of, like, a guy like Batista, maybe, like, those type of guys. Their first wins, right? But, like, after that, like, obviously everyone hates Cena. I love Cena, but, like, you know, like,
right.
You know, but maybe their first wins, I have to think about that, you know. Like, it's a good question, because definitely up until maybe, like, you know, 2003, 2004, maybe you get some, Eddie Guerrero, maybe, you know, like, someone like that, right? That,
yeah, okay, Eddie would work, right?
Yeah, Eddie's maybe the first one, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Eddie would work.
But it would have to be, like, the first one, because even, like, Randy Orton, right? He wins the title, and then people immediately shit on him, right? Because
he
gets Benoit's belt, and, you know, there's a lot of different guys that I think started off and don't have it. But Brett's really the one. I mean, he's a face until you know, at basically the end of this run to 97. Like, he was an over right. face.
And he was over. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, he was sustained over the whole time. Like, fans weren't really shitting on him. Like, they weren't, you know, booing him, nothing crazy like that. So, yeah, this just kind of popped in my head as, you know, they got it right with that. And then it's kind of weird that they get it right with him and they always take the belt off of him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, we know why. Well, without spoiling, I think we know why. Right. Who's coming back? Who's missing from the show?
Yep.
Is not happy the attention's off him. Why, you know, the first time he gets taken off him.
Exactly. Backstage throwing a fit. You gave that motherfucker Santa Claus? Hell no.
I never got Santa.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe we should talk ratings for the whole show. I don't know what you did. We probably should have talked about this before, but we're going to grade it. I did a letter grades, but I'm fine for whatever.
Okay, so what'd you give it?
I gave B minus for trying, but I think as a whole show, you got to give it a C plus because there's a lot of junk. And then just like I said, from watching the superstars, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't make, like, doesn't happen. Like, why is that? The tag team match was infuriating to me because especially because you were saying I didn't even understand what was happening. Makes me even mad.
Oh man,
like,
yeah,
of how much they spent time on and how they were building a, you know, pretty complicated storyline, I would say. Like, I actually think a good one, but like it,
right,
they mentioned no mention of it, just upsets me. So I'll give them, I think, a C plus.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a solid C, and the reason being is like the high wasn't high enough for me. Like, I like the Bret Shawn match. The low was very low, and then the in betweens were all kind of about average. So I'm just gonna give it a C, just because it was kind of a, you know, it wasn't. They had some fun parts of it, then they had some really shitty parts of it. So, you know, you got your good and your bad. I'm just gonna go ahead with C.
All right. And do you want to give any rewards for the night? Do we give anything out?
So, match of the night's obviously Bret versus Shawn. Boss Man versus Nails is obviously the worst match of the night. I don't think there's any debate on that.
I agree on both those.
Yeah, and most new generation, I mean, you could say the main event, but I'm going to go Yoko. I just feel like he was like the guy that they kind of made, like they made him a star of the night. You know, the bonsais, oh, like nobody's, like they're kind of seeing him for the first time. They're kind of like figuring him out. He's, you know, obviously going to be a player in the new generation. He's not like established yet. So I'm going to go with Yoko on that.
All right, I'm going to go with Taker. Just because it's part of his gimmick for the next couple years, the wood crafting, the coffin matches. I know they're not gonna be good matches, but like this is really his like building out of his face character, right? Of this like guy that has the urn and that type of thing. So I think like a lot of that is coming, you know, starting to come out here. You know, the cool entrances, right? I mean, he did one at SummerSlam with the hearse, but like, you know, here with coming out with the coffin. The lights still don't go out though. It's so crazy.
Yeah,
like,
it comes out with I was expecting that.
So
right.
I'll go with Taker. So the most, maybe like that's, we'll call that maybe the most new gen person.
Yeah.
What we do?
Cool. I like it.
And then maybe most new gen outfits. I think we have to do that because there's only one winner in this in my eyes.
But who you got
first? Oh, I got High Energy. There's nothing.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. If you're gonna go like most, like 92, you know, they're probably a little bit late on that too, but unless they came out in like cross colors or something like that, this is the most 92 you're going to get with the parachute pants and the suspenders. And I love it. Like, I love every minute of it. So yeah, I agree 100% on that one.
Yeah. I think there'll be a lot of good ones, you know, some of the shirts, like the Razor Ramon shirt that comes out and the Taker shirt. Like, I think there's a lot of, you know, these like outfits, but I don't know what, maybe I could get a better name than outfit, but High Energy just screams 92. The neon for me is just exactly 92.
It's like the Saved by the Bell cover art on a wrestler.
exactly. Any other thoughts on any other awards, or that's good enough for today?
I think we're good. We might establish some more going forward, but I think we got a good start to this one. You know, like, we're in our own new generation, so we'll get some more going forward.
Sounds good. And then so maybe we'll talk about next week, and maybe we'll plug a couple shows on North South Connection. That sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I know think next. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know we got coming up is going to be a couple episodes of Superstars. I'm really excited about that because I've literally seen none of the superstars from late 92 to early 93. Most of 93, I've never seen Superstars either. So I'm pretty excited to see that and what's coming forward. I was like a big TV guy as compared to pay-per-views. Like I love the story building and things like that. So pretty excited for that.
Yeah, so we'll probably do maybe two or three for next week. We'll see how they go. Make sure there's something actually interesting in them. Sometimes I've noticed I'm watching some of the – I haven't watched the ones after Survivor Series. The ones before, sometimes nothing happens. It's like four jobber matches. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll watch two or three and make sure we got enough content for the next
show.
But, yeah, they're on the network too, which makes it – and they're easy watches. They're like 40, 40 minutes, and they don't they're pretty quick. There's nothing long in there. No match goes, I promise you. 15:50 with four bad tag teams in there, so that's always a positive.
Right,
it's always a positive. So, just to kind of wrap things up, we're on the North South Connection feed. Couple, I don't know if you want to plug any podcasts on there. Kind of listening.
Oh,
lately.
I love the the year that was. I'm always going to give that a shout out because I think Aaron does such a good job by himself. I love their new show, the Entering the Rumble. I think that's such a cool concept of, like, I love Royal Rumble season in itself. You know, I love the whole, the Royal Rumble is probably my favorite pay-per-view just because you get, like, a mix of everything in that match. So I just love, like, the thought of, you know, going a single character and kind of seeing their arc in such a historic match. So I love that show. Warzone is one of my favorites because I love the era. Extreme Three-Way Dance is really fun. You know, I think the dichotomy between all three of them, Jay, JT, and Jenny is a good mix on that show. So that's another show I like to listen to a lot. What about yourself?
Yeah, so I did listen to the first Now Into the Rumble, which was on Bret Hart, our favorite guy. So that's a good one. I already mentioned to Justin about I can't wait for the Dino Bravo retrospective. It needs to be on that one, so
right.
Looking forward to that. But yeah, that was an interesting idea, and hope they can keep it going, because it'll be interesting when they start getting the guys. Bret Hart was a good first one,
right?
As always, this week in the NFL, I always love Cowboy and Senior picking on my Bears and D'Amato and
Buddy
Ryder. So our poor Bears, nothing that. And then Cowboy's gonna start something new with him and Logan. They're gonna try from the squared circle to the silver screen. They're going to watch No Holds Barred. So they're going to do, movies with wrestlers in it, which might not always be the best.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Right.
Yeah, so it's going to be awesome, but they're starting off with a actual good one and a No Holds Barred. So it'll be interesting to kind of listen to that one and kind of get their takes on it. And it was funny. Cowboy was telling that his dad that, you know, his dad took him to see it, and he asked his dad, "Hey, do you remember this movie?" He's like, "Nope, not at all." So, senior being a good dad, you know,
right,
crappy Hulk Hogan movie. So,
exactly.
There's tons of other shows, you know, comics we didn't really talk about today. You know, they got a bunch of comic shows, the Journey to Infinity, because I listen to that a lot. I rewatched all the Marvel part of quarantining, all the Marvel movies last summer. So, enjoy that to kind of relive the movies. But there's a ton of different pop culture and wrestling throughout the feed. So subscribe and listen to us every other Wednesday.
Yes, sir. They cover it all. So anything you're looking for, we got you covered.
Yeah, perfect. Anything else before we say goodbye?
Nope. I think we're all good, man. Just looking forward to the episodes of Superstars and see where it goes from here.
All right. Can't wait. Cheers. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Appreciate it.
All righty.